objectioners. They kill the messengers. They quell objectioners. They kill the messengers up against the wall. And they call this living.
Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Kemp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Kemp coming to you live from beautiful California. We ran a little late tonight because there was a big Ron Paul debate on the station, and I think it caused some challenges with the technology or something. I'm not sure, exactly sure, but here we are anyway, just a little bit late. I hope you're having a wonderful day today. I want to make a few announcements. First of all, our Magi Fellowship, we just had our yearly intensive. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with what that is, we created a group of people that study the cards and who also want to make them part of their life and part of their livelihood, and also who want to live by the higher principles that the card system was created to be in conjunction with by a group called the Order of the Magi. So we have now 14 members, and once a year we have an intensive. Now, if you really love the cards and you think you'd like to, you know, get certified in the cards, become part of a group that is utilizing them and using them to serve humanity, just go to my website, seventhunders.com, and click on the training and certification link at the top, and it'll tell you all about us and how you can apply for membership. So we had our intensive down in Cambria. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Cambria or Cambria, California. And it was just an amazing experience for us, deepening our understanding of the cards through some experiential exercises we did relating to the cards in our own spreads. It was really wonderful. Today is September 17th. We're well into Virgo. Today is a 7 of Clubs and 5 of Diamonds day. People born today have really brilliant minds, but any 7 of Clubs is going to go back and forth from feeling very inspired to feeling very sort of down about everything, because the card sits in the middle of the suit. It's halfway between the Ace and the King. The 7 sits in the middle. And because it's a club, it's about the mind, the status of the mind. And this is going to be good because our topic tonight, even though I haven't announced it yet, is going to be about that same thing. Some people born today are in actress Anne Bancroft. Let's see here, who else? Ken Kesey, the author. Hank Williams Sr., the original Hank Williams, was born on this day. Rita Rudner, the comedian. There's a lot of 7 of Clubs comedian. Robin Williams is a 7 of Clubs. Bill Clinton, the comedian, is a 7 of Clubs. That was a joke, folks. Paula Jones, the only person one of the few people that really won their case against Bill Clinton, is a 7 of Clubs, born today. Which just goes to show that only a thief can catch a thief. I'm not sure why I'm being down on Bill. Actually, I think he's a really great guy. I'd rather have him as president than anybody else on the agenda this year. Okay, but today's not just the 7 of Clubs, it's the 5 of Diamonds. That's the ruling card for today. And people born today, they have a real restless side to them. You can believe it. This is one 7 of Clubs that would really be into travel and would have more commitment issues than the average 7 of Clubs, because 7 of Clubs are all in all pretty able to make commitments and have good relationships. But this particular birthday with a 5 of Diamonds ruler would be a little harder, because 5s have trouble with commitments. They have difficulty. I don't know if you read the news today, but O.J. Simpson has been arrested for having a couple of friends with guns rob some guys, basically just trying to take back some things he said were his. And I thought I would look in his cards. He's 60 years old right now. I was amazed to see how old he had become. And I'm looking at his cards, and he's actually got okay cards right now. Not bad, you know. And his cards long range for the year and for the major part of the year are good. There are some challenging cards in his Mars period, which begins on October 21st. So just about the time that he might have to go to court, he's got some very difficult cards. And I'm not sure if he's going to win his case. I mean, he sort of has the attitude that he'll always win. But he does have very difficult Saturn cards, which come in February of next year. He has a 9 of Hearts and 7 of Spades in Saturn in his birth card spread. But he's got good cards in his ruling card spread. And I would think that if he was really going to be found guilty and have to go to jail, that we would see more results. We would see more cards in his year-long cards for that. I don't see that. So I'm not going to say one way or the other. I think it's going to be challenging for him, though, more than he expected. And we'll just have to see how that unfolds. This 9 of Hearts in Saturn with a 7 of Spades is a pretty powerful and difficult combination, but that could easily be just a relationship thing with somebody he's involved with. So wouldn't have to necessarily be related to his court thing. So we'll see how he does getting through his Mars period, which goes from October 21st to December the 12th. And then we'll know. The year that he won his first trial, the big trial, he had the best cards you could have for legal things. And the year he had his the second trial, the civil suit, he had very difficult cards. Sort of like he has now, but not quite as bad as he had at that time. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and she was mentioning how she's in a Venus period, and she has, I think it was her Venus period, and she has a 7 of Spades. And she got sick. She got, you know, the flu. And it just basically knocked her out of working for about a week, you know, just like drained her energy, and she just couldn't, all these things she had to do, she couldn't do. And we were talking about how that 7 shows up and what that's really about. And I was thinking about that and thinking about how all of us have challenges in our life. All of us have problems that occur in our life. You know, and sometimes we won't have major problems for a long time, and then we'll have a big one show up, and it could be anything. I mean, it could be something not even related to us directly, like somebody we love having problems that could become our problems. Or it could be something direct, like something happens to our house, our health, our finances, our relationship. And the cards are kind of good because they sort of show, they often show, you know, when challenges will show up. So you'll see a 7 or a 9. These are the cards that we're most afraid of. People who study the cards are most afraid of 7s and 9s, especially when they appear in the Mars period or the Saturn period or as a Pluto card. And because these are the ones where the cards tend to be expressed negatively more in those positions. So there's, you know, people who call me over the years saying, you know, but you got to help me. I have a 9 in Saturn. You know, what do I do? And, you know, or somebody has a 9 of Spades long range or a 7 of Spades long range, you know, what do I do? And so there's a sense of panic and sense of dread about what could happen. And of course, you know, difficult things happen to everybody from time to time. And, you know, what is it about this that, you know, let's take a look at this for a minute. Let's take a look at these challenges that occur in our life. And what do we do? And what's really going on? And what's it really about? I mean, what do these sevens and nines mean? It's very interesting that these two cards, seven and nine, which are the ones that create the most problems, are considered the two most spiritual cards in the suit. So why does spiritual have to be difficult? Why does spiritual have to be challenging? Why does it have to be, why can't it be something fun and easy and great? It's an interesting question. It's an interesting thing to think about, you know. So we have cards like eights and fours and tens, which are successful cards, and they're called mundanely or materially successful cards. But they're not spiritually successful cards. Spiritually successful cards are the sevens and the nines. So let's think about it for a minute. Let's just say you're going along and something happens that really upsets you. Maybe it scares you. Maybe you get an unexpected bill in the mail that's pretty large and you don't know what you're going to do with it. Maybe, I don't know, think about something that happened to you recently. Something that is really, was really difficult to deal with. So there, first of all, if you notice when we're in that state, and this could have happened, by the way, while you have a seven or nine in your cards, and often does. But just think about it for a minute. Whatever's happening at that moment is something that we don't like. Like, we just don't like it. We don't want it. We want something else. We want things to be different. We just don't want things to be that way. We might be able to be fine if it was slightly different or maybe way different than it is, but we definitely don't like it the way that it's showing up in our life right then and there, right? Isn't that what's going on when you think about it? Whatever that is, whether you're sick, whether it was a relationship challenge, you got angry and had a fight with your partner, or you broke up, or whether it was a health thing, or whether it was a financial thing, or whether it was something happened at work, or something just happened to your stuff, like your car or something else, all of a sudden, the situation that you're in is something that you don't want to be in. There's a resistance to it. There's a resistance to what is in front of us, okay? And that is why we call it bad. That's why we say it's something bad. We say it's bad because we don't want it. It's really simple. If you just think about it for a minute, just kind of step back from the situation that you might have been in, you'll see that all of this resistance to whatever it is or was is because of what? It's because we had an expectation of something different. We had an expectation of something different. Okay? We had expected it to go like this, but instead it went like that. And you know, if you think about it, if you look at your life, and I look at my life, I can see that I have a lot of expectations about a lot of stuff in my life going a certain way. You know, like I expect my house to stay the right temperature. I expect my car to run. I expect to have enough money to pay my bills. I expect my relationship, the woman I'm in a relationship with, and I get to get along well. I expect people to be reasonable and nice to me on the phone. I expect, you know, there'll be air to breathe, and I expect myself to be healthy. So, you know, I expect a lot of little things. You know, if you don't really take a look around, but you may not realize that you have a lot of expectations, and some of us have way more expectations than other people. I mean, I've met people that, you know, the least little thing would have to be just exactly a certain way, or they become very unhappy. You know, so the matter of expectations is really key in all this, because our expectations are setting us up in a way for some problem. If you think about some of the worst problems that you've ever had, or challenging situations you've been in, difficult situations, each one of those, you could just say, things happened different than I expected. You know, things happened way off. It was something that I didn't want. Like, we've decided we want this and we don't want that. I want that experience, but I don't want that experience. I don't want that experience. I just want these experiences. And, you know, from one point of view, you can say that all of us are setting up our life so that we can have all the experiences we want and avoid all the experiences that we don't want. I remember reading the book Unlimited Power by Anthony Robbins, and he said that we'll do a lot more. We're a lot more motivated as human beings to avoid experiences that we don't like than we are to pursue experiences that we do like. He said that power of avoidance is way more powerful than the power of getting what we want in life, which I thought was very interesting. Seems to make sense when I think about it. So here we are. We're all trying to design our life every day, and we could be just completely just trying to create a life where we don't run in, don't have to experience a lot of things that we don't like. I mean, I've read for clients who, you know, because they had one really, really devastating relationship in their past, and it hurt them so badly at the time, they gave up. They shut the door down. They would never open up again. I've had lots of clients that fall into that category. And where have we shut down to, like, the experiences in our life? So now, you know, when you think about, like, let's say you have a nine of spades coming up in your Saturn period. That's pretty much like the scariest card there is. There's a few others that might be close, but that's considered one of the most scary, to have a nine of spades in Saturn. So there's going to be some kind of tremendous loss that you have to experience. The loss of something. And usually if it's in Saturn, it means the loss of something that we don't want to let go of. It's just in Saturn because it shows up in Saturn, in the Saturn period, because Saturn represents karma. So if I've avoided something in my life for a long, long time, if I pushed it away long enough, Saturn will come around and say, well, now it's time to pay for this. Now it's time to clean this up, to take care of this thing, because you can't avoid something forever. So the karma that we create by avoiding something will eventually catch up to us. So then it comes in Saturn, and then something is taken away. You know, it could be a person that we love passes away, or it could be we lose our job, or it could be some health thing that stops us from working altogether, or stops us from doing something that we've been doing for a long time. It could be lots of things in Saturn. It could be something good, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, it's always bad, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but generally speaking, it's going to be something really challenging, something we have to let go of, but we don't want to let go of it. So we experience that. It's often experienced, and people will talk about it afterwards and say, that was a real tragedy for me. That was devastating. That was a tremendous loss. It could be like a divorce. You know, it could be lots of things. So then, but what's really going on when you have something like that? Whatever that experience was, whatever the event was, what's really going on? What is it, if God is really a loving God, and I am absolutely convinced that God is a loving God. Now, whether the God you worship is a male or female image, or whether it's Hindu, or whether it's Christian, or whether it's Muslim, or any God, my God, the God that I'm connected with, is a loving God, and everything happens by the God that I worship's wish. In other words, nothing happens around me, to me, or other people that isn't coming from a loving place on some level. That's where I stand in my life. That's what I see. That's how I interpret things in my life. Now, things happen to me, too, that I don't like. And I initially will respond with the same things that anybody else would. But I don't stay there. I don't stay there. I look. I ask myself. Like in the case of a big loss, I would say to myself, well, is it time for me to let that go? I know that God loves me, so if God says it has to go, I can let it go. I'm willing to let it go. Because I know, I have faith. I just know that whatever's happening out here is meant for my benefit, not to torture me, not to punish me, not to make me wrong or to punish me because I'm a bad person. But I find that things that happen, if I lose things that I'm attached to, it's because I didn't really want to be attached. Part of me doesn't want to live in a life of attachment. There's a part of me that's very driven to be unattached, to be free of attachment, so that I can have more joy in my life, so I can have more love in my life, so that I don't have to act so defensively and negatively when I think things are being taken away from me, or I'm going to lose things, people or things in my life, whatever that is. So there's a part of me that's surrendered, but still I get caught sometimes and I get caught off guard. I react just like anybody. I'm going to like be upset. I might try to control the situation or whatever. But when you have a nine in the cards, the nines will say that, you know, it doesn't matter how you act. It's going to go anyway. A nine is a real ending. It is an ending of something to us, an ending of something to us. So when I look at it, really, I see that really whatever's happening out here in the world, it's really God. It's a message. It's not just happening by accident. There are no accidents. Everything that happens has a purpose. Everything that happens has a reason. For me, if it's happening to me, it's for me. And, you know, the legal, this is something that is interesting, because talking about OJ, you know, I really felt like he was guilty. And he should have been punished and found guilty. And I know that, you know, he didn't. He won his trial and he got to be a free man. But I know that everything in the world is perfect. And if he was guilty, you can't escape your karma. It may not happen right then and there, but it's going to happen. His karma will be met. And he was also fulfilling some karma by doing what he did, whatever, you know, whatever the case. Perhaps, you know, this robbery thing, perhaps he'll get thrown in jail for the rest of his life. And that may be, if he was guilty the first time, that could be how he got paid. Likewise, on the other end, when I see people that are, like, falsely accused, you know, and they're not guilty, but they still have to go to jail. Like, I heard a story just recently about somebody who was some really really great athlete, like a straight-A student in school. I guess he was 18, and he had consensual sex with a girl that was 15, and they sentenced him to 20 years in prison. Now, that's not fair. I mean, really, that's not fair. I mean, there's probably something about that, but it was consensual, and she said it was consensual. But see, the karma of this individual had it that he had to experience this for some reason. Now, we may not understand it, but I know that even if that happens, and if he spends 20 years in prison and he was falsely accused, I know that that's going to have a loving outcome for him and everybody concerned. Because, you know, when you hear about something like that, if it was like your own son or daughter, you would have a lot of invested energy in it. I would, of course. And it would be part of my karma then playing out, because it's not just happening to my son or my daughter. It's happening to me because they are my son or daughter. So this is how life is. Everything is perfect. And when these sevens come up and these nines come up, they're not meant to punish us. It's meant to be a shift. And generally speaking, 7 and 9 represents a time to become more spiritual, to become more connected within and less attached on the external plane. That is what these spiritual cards bring. Now, here's the other cool thing. If you, to whatever degree, any of us has reached a place of unattachment already in our life, like if you have, let's say, already mastered the relationship area to where you never really place a lot of expectations on other people and make demands on other people and freak out when you think you're going to get hurt or whatever. I don't know who could do this. I can't do this yet. But if you had reached this place, a seven of hearts or a nine of hearts in your cards is going to be a time of great spiritual victory for you. It's not going to show up like a failure. This is why I tell people in my classes sometimes that when I first got seven of diamonds cards and when I was younger, they would take my money away. But now that I've mastered my own relationship with prosperity, the seven of diamonds brings more money than any other card in the deck. It's an incredible card of incredible financial abundance. But it only works because it's a spiritual card. It only operates that way to people that are not attached. And this is why you'll find seven of diamonds birth card people who half of them are millionaires and half of them are poor. There's some that really are living that unattachment and some that are not. So when you have any kind of situation come up in your life that you don't like, and I'm sure we all have them probably on a daily basis, think about, you know, what is it that you're holding on to, or what kind of a place are you being that this is a problem? Because, you know, I guarantee you, whatever happened that made you upset or made me upset, it could happen to somebody else and it would not make them upset. There's somebody else out there who would have the same exact thing happen to them and they would not be upset about it. Because it's really about what we expected, what our expectations were, what our attachments were to things in our life. So if we can learn to use these experiences to learn about ourselves, to see where we're attached and ask ourselves, do I really need to be attached? Can I let go? Can I really be safe in this world without having to have everything be a certain way? If we can get to that place, none of these situations will come up anymore. They will not have a need to show up like that for you or for me anymore. Okay, so that ends our discussion tonight. We're going to take a short break. And after that, the phone lines will be open if you've been waiting to call in. Now is the time. You have questions, and I've got some answers, and I hope I can help you. So please call back, call in. Now all lines are open as far as I know at the station. And when we come back, I'd like Seth to play the Sri Ram song off my new music CD. And when we come back, whoever's on the line, we'll be talking to him. This is Robert Lee Camp. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Thank you. Back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, Mr. Destiny, and now it's time for to open the phone lines. We have two lines open, by the way. We have Terry on line four, but if you want to call, now's the time. So I'd like to talk to Terry on line four.
I'm here, Robert.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm just great, thank you.
And you're the same birthday as one of the senior members of our group, the Magi Fellowship. Her name is Arlene. And she's
Arlene Hodges, I've seen her on your website.
Same birthday as you.
Yep.
And that girl's got
so
much
so
energy.
So she's the in a club. She's also the
Ten of Hearts.
Ten of Hearts.
Yeah. So what can I do for you tonight, Terry?
Well, I thought an objective view would be good. I have two questions, if there's time. I've been studying the cards off and on for 30 years, I think. I started with Arlene's book and Florence Campbell and so on, and I'm obviously very interested in it. And I'm thinking about putting up a website and making it, you know, a very distinct part of my life. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it'd be a great idea for you. You have a Ten of Hearts right
match,
now.
I mean.
You have a Ten of Hearts right now in Jupiter. And that's a card that can symbolize somehow reaching a large audience.
Yes.
Or putting out, you know, putting out your word to a group, large group of people. So why wouldn't you? This is what I do. I align myself with the cards I have.
Mm-hmm.
If I see that I have a good card for something, I utilize that.
I haven't looked at it for a while. How long does that last, that influence?
It lasts until October 22nd.
Okay.
And then you go into a Ten of Spades period in Saturn, but even that's a good card. And even a Ten of Spades can represent groups of people. It just means working hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. My second thought was, would you pair an eight of clubs like me with someone with a birth date of February 11th, which is a
Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades.
An Ace of Spades Aquarian,
mm-hmm.
which is a Nine of Spades ruler. Well, I certainly don't see any real problem with that combination. I mean, you have a Venus connection with him.
Yes, we do.
And there's also a friendship connection. Now, you're you being as fixed as you are will be challenging to him at times, because his nine of spades, his Pluto card, is the eight of clubs.
Yeah.
And the nine of spades part of him is the part that will be a little pushy.
He's very pushy.
Okay, so that's, you're never going to give in to that. And that's going to be his problem, not yours. You follow me?
Yeah.
Because that's the way it works. I mean, I'm Pluto to the Eight of Clubs. You might be aware of that. I'm a Queen of Diamonds.
Yes.
And so I notice that when I'm Pluto to somebody, I'm also Pluto to the Jack of Spades, that, you know, it feels very right to say whatever I think is really right.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I never feel like I should hold back or anything. And I think you'll feel the same way with him.
I guess it's a spiritual opportunity.
Yeah, if he wants to take it that way. It's going to depend on how he's willing to take it, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's obviously something good between you, or he wouldn't be attracted to you.
Right.
And so there's something, but, you know, maybe sometimes we're attracted to Pluto people subconsciously because we want to change ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we want
somebody who can help us make that change.
Right.
I've had lots of Eight of Clubs clients, you know, and well, I know when they come to me, they're ready for a big change in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm their Pluto card. And it's been that way pretty consistently.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but, I mean, you have a King of Hearts result this year. Did you look at that?
Mm-hmm.
And the King of Hearts happens to be one of the karma cards of the Nine of Spades.
A karma card of what?
Of the Nine of Spades? Yeah, his ruler.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, indications are you two might hook up.
Okay.
You got King of Hearts all over the place this year, actually.
Pardon?
I'm seeing all kinds of King of Hearts here. But, you know, is there somebody else in the picture, too?
My best friend is the King of Hearts.
But I mean,
my dog is the King of Hearts.
Is there another romantic interest in your life yet?
I don't know. There's a very deep love connection between this King of Hearts and I, and there has been for 30 years. We don't live together or such.
Well, I got a feeling, and I'll just say this, that somebody else is going to come into the situation before your birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're going to be, you know, kind of wondering which way you should go.
Come in romantically, you mean?
Yes.
Well, that would be...
It looks that way.
Okay.
Looking at your cards. So, hey...
Exciting.
There's, you know, love is, true love is never in a hurry.
Yes.
So if anybody is ever pressuring, you know, romantically pressuring somebody else, that's not love.
Yeah, he has a hard time not pressuring.
Well, you know, he's got to get over himself.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, it just doesn't give him what he wants to pressure you. It's not gonna give him what he really wants.
Right. I mean, I've been quite resistant to it and just quite willing to take it step by step.
Yeah, so it's funny how I knew that just by knowing the connections between you two, you see?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive.
And knowing about his Nine of Spades, because that's how Nine of Spades people are. You know, what's her name? Jennifer Aniston.
Uh-huh.
Is the same birthday as your boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
She's an Ace of Spades and Nine of Spades. And she was married to Brad Pitt, who is King of Hearts, and Two of Diamonds. And you know, I think that when she realized that she couldn't just have her way all the time, she just, you know, facilitated the breakup.
Yeah, he told me on multiple occasions that if he doesn't get what he wants within a year or whatever it is, that he's out of here. So I believe him.
Well, you know, there's no lack of people to be with.
No, it doesn't particularly upset me. It's a weird situation, but
yeah, I knew I can tell that. I can tell it's true. So, did I answer all your questions, Terry?
Yes, you did.
Well, it's great. Thank you for being my guest tonight.
All right. Thanks very much, Robert.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to, we have all the lines open now. Everybody got to call in, or we're going to end this show early tonight. We're going to play Karna's song, and when we come back, if we have some people who have questions, we'll have a show. Okay, so I look forward to hearing from you. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Robert Lee Camp. That was the song that I wrote for a character named Karna, who was a great warrior over 5,000 years ago. Lived a life of very high morality and gave his life for honor and duty. The lines are now full. We have Gail, which I want to talk to first, on line 3. Are you there, Gail?
Yes, I am, Robert. Hi, very nice to meet
you. Hello, is Gail there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you a little bit.
I love your program, and you help so many people. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you, Gail. I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, I love it. And I have your Destiny Card book, and I just think that you've been just a great blessing to so many people, and I want to thank you, number one.
Oh, I love hearing that. I mean, you know, it really means a lot. Thank you.
Okay, my issue is this. I've been divorced 2 years, and my ex-husband, there was a third party involved, another woman, and my husband left me for what he thought was the love of his life. It didn't last long, but he called me a couple of months ago, wanted to get together. We met, talked about a reconciliation. In the middle of it, the ex that he had called and said, I changed my mind, I really like you, and let's get together. And I'm confused. I don't know whether we'll reconcile or not, so I need some help.
So let me get this straight. He's called back, and now he says he wants to be with you again?
No, he didn't call me back. He told me that I went to meet him where he lived, and we were together talking about a reconciliation and our children, and we were together many years. In the middle of it, she gave him a phone call and said, oh, I can't believe your ex is there. I've changed my mind. I think maybe I can make a commitment now. So I haven't heard anything from him. It's been about a month, so I just need some direction. I kind of think...
I'm sorry, Gail. I still didn't quite... I didn't quite get it. Like, you guys got together, and
mm-hmm.
you were talking about a reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
And a phone rang. His phone rang, and the ex that he left me for called him and had a conniption fit that I was there and said, I changed my mind. Maybe we should talk. And so I don't know what's going on.
So in other words, you heard him talk to her.
No, he didn't talk to her. He hung up on her and didn't talk to her. Called her a couple days later, but I was already gone.
Oh.
And I haven't heard anything back from him, and I just want to know if there's any future for us at all, ever.
Well, what is his birthday?
February the 8th.
Okay.
1946.
So he's a 4 of spades, queen of diamonds.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. Well, one thing that I will say is this. You know that the queen of clubs... Well, you may not know this, but I'll tell you. Queen of Clubs is a card that has abandonment issues. Are you aware of that?
What? It has what?
Abandonment issues.
Yes, I do have those issues.
Abandonment,
yes.
Betrayal.
Yes.
That's in your life path. You know, that's part of your karma.
Yes.
And this year, your birth card, and that's signified by many cards, but one of the main cards that signifies that is the Seven of Hearts that you have in your Saturn position. Okay. And this year, your birth card is sitting in the Seven of Hearts spot, your Queen of Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You're displacing the Seven of Hearts. And that means that this is the year when you really get to heal this for yourself.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very... You're a double club. You're a queen and a five of clubs. And you have an incredible mind. I know that you have an incredible mind. But that mind doesn't do you any good when you're not feeling loved and safe.
Right.
Especially when you start thinking about relationships.
Right.
You know? So, and that's why you're calling me.
Well, we talked about maybe a year from now getting back together and giving us a year to see each other once in a while and see how it works. But I haven't heard a word from him, so I'm thinking maybe he went back with the other lady. I don't know.
Well... For sure, if he hasn't called you back, that's not a good sign.
Right.
And, you know, just the fact that he hasn't called you one way or the other is actually if that doesn't say much really good about him either.
Well, he's not real honest and straightforward like he should be in this relationship, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, so see, it all comes down to, like, is that what you want? You know, what do you want?
Well, you know, I thought that enough time had passed. Time had healed a lot of things, and I'd forgiven him, and he had this affair that he thought was the love of his life, and she's very strong, and she kind of dumped him, and now she's back. I don't know if she's back for good or not.
Well, see, what's important is not really what he's doing, but what you're doing.
Right.
It's like, what is it that you're creating in your life? I honestly think that going back to him would be a step backwards for you.
You're probably right.
I'm not sure, but, you know, there is no real reason for you to go back with a man who just dumped you.
Yeah, you're right.
Unless you're so lonely that that's the best you can do.
No, no, I'm not lonely. I have a very full life, but I really did love him. And I
okay.
Really,
well, you know, you can love him and send him on his way.
That's true, too. If I can't hear your birthday, can you look at that?
What is her birthday?
November 4th, 1948.
Okay, so she's a Three of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Queen of Diamonds. And I've actually had a relationship with a woman. I'm a Queen of Diamonds. I had a relationship with that woman, with a woman of that birthday
mm-hmm.
before. But, you know, that's not going to really tell us anything.
Right.
What's going to tell us, this is what really going to tell us something, is what are you going to do? Like, what would you like to have happen? For yourself.
You can't say
who, but what would you like to have happen for you, for Gail?
I would like a reconciliation in a year from now, not now. I would like the time to happen. I would really like to consider
Well, Gail, I'm here to tell you that you can't say who you're going to be with.
I can't what?
You have no say-so over who you would be with, but you can ask for what you want in terms of what kind of relationship you want, but you cannot say who it's going to be.
That's true.
We just can't. So, like, you know, have you been alone this whole time?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, would you like to have somebody in your life?
Eventually. I don't think I'm ready yet. I'm working toward it. It's taking me some time.
You know, you have a Five of Clubs ruling card yourself. And people who have that usually like some freedom in their relationships.
I do. And we had freedom in the relationship. It was not an open marriage. No way.
It was not what?
Not an open marriage. No, I don't believe
that. No, I'm not saying that, but you may not want to ever be, like, tied down to a relationship again yourself.
Well, that's how I felt. It's kind of like, you know, that saying, the devil I know is better than the one I don't know. It's kind of like I had that feeling that we could maybe reconcile and each have our freedom, but still be in a relationship.
But see, that's a form of poverty consciousness. That's a poverty consciousness in the relationship area. That's telling the universe that I don't really believe I can have anything better than this. And this is not so good, but at least it's a devil, but at least I know the devil.
Right.
You understand? That's telling God that all you can give me is devils.
Right.
So I'll take the one that I know instead of one that I'm not going to, because I'm not going to get anything better than a devil.
Mm-hmm.
See that? That's a form of relationship poverty.
Right.
Well, you can change that, Gail.
Well, you can change anything by changing.
You could meet somebody in the next
mm-hmm.
month
mm-hmm.
if you'd snap out of it.
Exactly. You're right. You got to snap out of it.
You got to let go of this man, completely let him go, and move on.
All right. Okay.
If he comes back, fine. But even if he does come back, it could be something that would be on your terms.
Well, yeah, I think it would have to be.
But you need to let him go, and you need to, like, imagine he's never coming back and get over it. Get over it and get on with it.
Hey, I was starting to do that until the phone rang, and he said, look, I've made a huge mistake. I want to talk to you. And I go,
he's always making huge mistakes, and now he's made another one. And you can expect him to keep making those until the day, you know.
Right.
So don't let his mistake be your mistake.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being a guest, Gail. I appreciate
you.
Thank you for your kind words in the beginning. I wish you well.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to have Vivian come on line four if she's still with us. And line three is now open, folks, if you guys want to call in. So is Vivian here?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Vivian.
Hi.
And you're a queen of clubs also, is that true?
Yeah.
That's two in a row tonight.
There you go.
Now, are you born December 6, 1967?
Yes.
Great. Okay, I got you nailed. Now, what do you want?
The relationship that I'm currently in, been in it for a while. A lot of challenges there. I just don't know how compatible we are.
What's his birthday? Or?
October 1st of 66.
Okay. And are you guys, like, married or?
No. Dating, and then we were engaged for 3 months, and now we're unengaged and dating again.
Okay. So has he been with other women since you met him?
At the very beginning, when we had broke up, he was with another woman, and we got back together, and not since then, no.
Okay. All right. And are you living together?
No, we had talked about it, and then we got engaged, and a lot of things are on hold in his life for a couple more years. And he recently talked about moving in with me again come May.
Okay. Okay, so did you hear my conversation with the previous Queen of Clubs lady at all?
A little bit, yes.
Did you hear about the Seven of Hearts and Saturn?
A little bit, yes.
So do you recognize that part in yourself, too?
Not too much.
You don't recognize that you have a fear of abandonment?
No. Never had been a problem with me. With him, things iffy, so things are new with him, of my emotions, of what I'm going through. I've never had that problem or issues in my entire life, dating in high school, the marriage that I was in for 15 years, never had an abandonment issues.
So what are
when
you, feel- what are
got
you
with
feeling
him,
now?
Yeah.
What are you feeling now with this guy?
That there's a lot of extra things happening in his parents' life and his eldest daughter's life, and so I'm trying to be supportive to that and his experiences. So I don't think he knows where he wants to be at.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that he is a person who has really trouble with commitment.
Mm-hmm.
In general, as a general thing. Most Eight of Diamonds are serial monogamous. But they do get bored after
mm-hmm.
a period of time, and they want somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them will have, like, a lot of marriages. Well, you know, a lot of marriages are common. But his ruling card is also a Three of Hearts, so it's emphasized in him that uncertainty about love that all three Eight of Diamonds have is overemphasized in him. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think he's just having second thoughts about commitment.
Yes.
You understand? Now, all the things that he tells you, you're a club, right?
Yes.
So you love to have some reasons for everything.
Right.
I'm a diamond. You know, I've been married to two clubs. And you know that I can come up with 1,000 reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I can make them up around the spot.
Right.
But they don't mean anything.
Right.
The real truth is, when you have a lot of three energy like he does, is that you just don't want to be tied down. But instead of saying that, you make up a reason. It sounds more, you know, average, normal, or something. Sounds more innocent. You follow me?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, so the bottom line may be that he just doesn't really want to have a commitment, you know. Like, look at your relationship right now. What do you have going right now with him? Are you seeing each other?
Yes, we're seeing each other.
How often?
Like, we've been seeing each other for 3.5 years.
No, I mean, how often do you see him?
Not that often because we live a couple hours away.
Yeah, that's that's all very convenient, by the way. So tell me, how often do you see him?
It gets to be difficult seeing him.
Can you tell me how often you see him in a given, in an average month?
Okay. I have weekends off, and that's what he has, is weekends off. Then on that month, I see him every weekend.
Okay.
But my work schedule changes every 28 days.
Uh-huh.
So on my days off, if it's a weekend day, then I'll see him just that day. But if I'm on my weekday, I don't get up to see him, or he can't get down to see me. And we both have kids that are priority to be parent to.
Right. Well, you know, the position that he's in for you in your spread this year is the Uranus position, which means that you just really can't predict what he's going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
He goes in and out of your life. It's very, well, the unpredictable is the best word I can think of, okay?
Uh-huh.
That's going to change on your next birthday.
Okay.
That unpredictability will not be there anymore. But whether you guys will still be together after that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really get the sense that you know, I know that you guys, it seems all very logical that, you know, you can't see each other very often because you're living far apart and you have job things and you both got families. You understand?
Right.
But I can't help but look at this and say, why did you guys make it this way? You understand? Like, it seems like it happened to you, like if this was something outside of your control. But I ask myself, why would Vivian have a relationship that's 200 miles apart and only see each other, you know, ever so often? But that's what Vivian wants.
Yes. Not necessarily what I want. I've tried to move closer. He's tried to move closer here. It just didn't pan out. There's a lot of extra circumstances that's understandable of what's going on there.
That's what I'm saying. It's all very understandable, Vivian, but I'm talking about something more where you have power. Do you want to live a life of power where you can really have everything you want? Would you like that?
Yeah, but I'm also a realist and know there's going to be challenges in that as well.
Well, there is. There's always challenges, no matter what we do. But
mm-hmm.
If you really are serious about having a life where you can have everything you want,
mm-hmm.
you know what the first step is? The very first step you have to take?
Now, what's that?
You have to realize that everything you have right now is exactly the way you want it.
Right.
And you got to look at that because I don't think you see. Like you said, you both tried to do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the word trying means?
What?
It means that part of me wants it and another part doesn't, and the part that doesn't want it is stronger than the part that does want it.
Hmm. Okay.
That's the definition of the word trying. Whenever we're trying to do something, it means the part that we're not conscious of, the part that we don't see, is the part that doesn't want it, and it's stronger, much stronger than the part that wants it. That's why it didn't happen.
Okay. And I don't live my life that way. I put out there, I try things. I let the Lord lead me. I don't hold back of what I want, and I try to achieve it. But I will follow what's presented to me and what's open to me in the direction that I'm led.
I do, too, but, you know, there is no trying, you know, in that whole thing. There's experimenting, but there's not any trying. So, you know, you don't have to agree with my philosophy, but if you ask me what's going on, I say that neither one of you, it really is clear about wanting this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you're having the results that you have right now, and those results will continue until one of you changes your mind or both of you changes your mind.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there are no indications here one way or the other that you guys are going to get together. I see you being happy next year. There's a potential for you to find love in your life, real
mm-hmm.
somebody really there.
Mm-hmm.
But even that's not so strong. It's not like a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For you. When I look at your cards and so forth.
Hmm. Okay.
I do know that you can have whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I know that you've picked this relationship the way it is because it's about as much as you can handle.
Not as much as I can handle. I picked this relationship because I got to know the man. I got to know the family, the parents, the children, and the values. And they're just so similar. We have different backgrounds, but our basic values of belief are the same.
Yeah. Well, there's something that's not happening, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there?
We're not living together. Phone conversations. We're there for each other. We're conversations for each other and stuff. But as physically being present with each other, no, we're not.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. I say that it's because there's a part of you that you're not in touch with that doesn't really want that yet, to have him there full time in your life.
Okay.
And I say that he has the same thing. And between the two of you, I think he is more commitment phobic than you are. I think you could make a commitment easier than he could.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely.
No, I'm not talking about Buck. I'm not talking about because of his circumstances. I'm
mm-hmm.
talking about because of his nature.
Okay.
All right. That's what I'm referring to his basic nature. Where I'm saying that your basic nature, like, as illustrated by your birth card and your ruling card, has a lot more potential for commitment than an Eight of Diamonds, Three of Hearts.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
So good luck, and thank you for calling, Vivian. I appreciate
All
it.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We have Juliet, who's been hanging on patiently on line two. Juliet, I'll be right with you, but we want to take a short break. We have lines 3 and 4 open, if anybody wants to call in. And we're going to take a short break and listen to the song Krishna. And when we come back, we'll talk to Juliet from San Francisco. Welcome back, everybody. That was Krishna from my new CD, Bhakti Rock. If you're interested in hearing more of the songs or ordering one of these, you can go to my website, seventhunders.com. There's a link there on the first page that tells all about it, and you can listen to some more samples online. We have Vivian, who's been waiting very patiently. Juliet, very patiently on line two for a long time. Can I talk to Juliet?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Juliet. How are you?
I wish things were going my way.
Things are going your way?
Things are not going
my way. Oh, they're not going your way. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And then everything is going wrong.
So what kind of things are going wrong right now?
I have a small plane because I had shoulder surgery last year, and my molar was cracked during surgery. And I went to small claim on Monday, and the judge just gave me 30 days to come up with an expert witness. Well, time is ticking, a week is already gone, and I still haven't found an expert witness. Mm-hmm. It is like everywhere I call, it's like I can't get any help.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of that, you know, me being accident prone, I got two auto accident losses, plus being in an accident earlier this year. And I couldn't believe it. My insurance, State Farm, denied me of any medical payment. They immediately sent me to an IME doctor, independent medical doctor.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't suffer anything. And then a collision expert who said that the accident was not injury producing. This is all so frustrating when I'm flared up and have to go through all of this.
So what can I do for you tonight, Juliet?
Well, how does it look for me and the cards legal-wise?
Uh-huh.
Because it says that the King of Clubs, is that supposed to help me?
Well, that's a good card for sure, but it has other meanings. It could help you in the legal matters. But see, what you're up against, I think, Juliet, is your own lifetime karma. Because
mm-hmm.
all these things you're describing sound just like the typical Seven of Spades stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the card system at all?
Yes.
Okay, so you know you're a Seven of Spades. And your life is about challenges that come up that cause you to think everything is going bad. And then how to find the good in all of that. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And did you hear my talk at the beginning of the show tonight at all?
I missed sort of the beginning part, but I caught the last half.
Oh, well, it really speaks right to what I think is happening for you. I mean, here you are, a Seven of Spades, you know. You're the card I was talking about. And I've known other people of your birthday.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've had some experience with people of your birthday before. And not everybody's life is the same or anything, but they all have their own challenges, you know. So a Seven of Spades is the hardest of the seven, did you know? In
yeah.
some ways, it's the hardest seven to be because spades affects our body, right? And it affects our life more in a stronger way than hearts, clubs, or diamonds. Because diamonds is basically money, and you know, hearts is relationships, and clubs is our status of our mind. But spades affects what we do every day. It's way more intense, you might say. Follow me?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in, right now, you're in your Saturn period.
Yeah, when do I see light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, you know, you have... what's really significant about your cards this year is that you're displacing the Ace of Spades. Did you take a look at that card at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, that's very... You know, there are five cards that influence the entire year. Right? The long range, the Pluto, the result, the the environment, and the displacement. And those five are the most important cards of the year. They're stronger than all the other cards. So you have this Ace of Spades, and you're sitting on it, which means that this is a year for you to make a big change in your life, a big transformation. Not a change in what you do out there in the world, not a change in what happens around you, but a change in you, how you're approaching your life. Did you ever think that all these things going wrong had something to do with you? Have you ever thought that it might be something, it might be happening because of somehow, some way that you're being in your life?
I just feel like I have no control of any of the situations.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you're also a Capricorn, right?
Yes.
And Capricorns, they focus all their attention on the external world for the most part. Do you understand? They don't typically, they try to build things in the world and have things happen out there, you know, their careers and all that. They're very work-oriented, just like Spades are. And so you're a Capricorn and a Spade. And so what I'm suggesting to you is look inside and just ask the question, is there something that I'm doing or some way that I'm being that is causing all these things to happen the way they are? You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It's called taking responsibility. This is how we get our power back. And this is, I was having the same conversation with another listener, a call-in listener tonight. And this is what I espouse, is that we take a look and see, is there something that we're doing that's helping sustain and recreate these things? And this is the year for you to make a personal change, an inner change. I don't know what exactly that is. I don't know exactly how all the little details of how things happened and, you know, what happened and so forth and so on. But I do know that you have the power to make something change here.
Okay.
So, you know, you still have another few months this year for your year. And you have that same Ace of Spades coming up on September 24th. And there's also a love coming into your life. Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you know you have a love coming in your Neptune period?
Ashley called in one of your other shows and he told me that.
Yeah. So, but you have to clean out some stuff in your life so that when that love comes, you're not encumbered by all this other stuff.
Okay.
You know, as much as you can. Deal with what's going on in a way that really is more effective, which means that where you can get your power back. Because, you know, right now you're kind of the victim of all these things around you.
You know, right. I try to think positive and go about my daily stuff, you know, trying to be positive and all these things just happen. It's like, I feel like this is so unfair.
Yes, I understand. I understand. But imagine if for a moment if God is behind all this and it's exactly what he wants for you and he loves you. Just imagine for a moment. And I think it would be really good for you if you're interested to listen to that. I'm going to post this show on my website in a couple days, you know, this recording.
Yeah,
go back and listen to the whole thing that I talked about, because it's exactly, I talked exactly about what's going on right now for you.
I wish I could change my card.
Hey, let me tell you, Julia, we all want to change our card sometimes. You know, did you know that my card is considered the hardest card in the deck to be?
No, I feel like mine is.
I know, I understand. I mean, every card has something that's challenging about it. And I can see that, you know, I think it will be hard to be a Seven of Spades. I remember the year that I displaced the Seven of Spades one year, and I got really sick that year, you know. And I don't normally get sick. So when you have physical things going wrong, it's much harder to stay in a spiritual space of gratitude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's much harder when things aren't going the way you want them to be grateful. But your card, among all the cards in the deck, you have to be grateful constantly. You have to find and look around you and find things to be grateful for, because that's the only way you chose, on some level, you chose to be this spiritual card.
I'm just curious. I haven't even looked into next year, but if my lawsuit goes into next year, how does it look for next year?
Next year, it looks to me like there's going to be more relationship stuff happening for you. The focus is going to shift onto relationships more for you.
So hopefully all this stuff would resolve this year and I don't have to think about it.
You know, whatever happens, it's not going to last forever, I can tell you that. And I hope that you learn from this, though, something about yourself. That's my hope for you.
It seems like I have.
Well, as long as it's still there and you don't feel good about it, there's still something to learn.
Yeah, I had it after my 12th auto accident.
You got it. What's going on with these accidents? Come on.
I was just sitting in the parked car, minding my own business, and then this woman just hit me from the driver's door side.
I mean, that is so amazing. How is it that you guys have, it's a mystery. Like, I think I've only had 2 car accidents in 50 years, you know?
And
they were both very minor. And to have a 7 of spades who can have, 10 accidents.
I just wish I can escape getting injured each and every time, each time I do get injured.
Well, Julia, I appreciate you calling tonight.
All right, thank you.
I hope you listen to that recording of that show later and really take it to heart, because everything can turn around for you. You can have a magical life, but you have to look at it in a different way.
All right. Thank you so much, Robert.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have a woman from Newport, California on line 4, and we have 2 lines open. Folks, if you want to call, line 2 and 3 are now available. But can we talk to Noon on line 4?
Hi, Robert.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay, you're kind of light. I wasn't sure you were talking to me. This is June.
June!
The Jack of Clubs.
Yes, I now I know who you are, because he wrote your name down wrong. He put your name as being Noon.
Sounds kind of Japanese or something.
How's it going?
It's going good. I'm going through my LP. I'm on the last stretch here. I have 4 more weeks.
Oh, that is so great.
Yeah.
Now, our listening audience doesn't know what you're referring to, so I'll just fill them in that you're in the final stages of an amazing training program that I took about 1.5 years ago, and now you're doing it, and you're right in the middle of it.
Yep. I'm doing it thanks to you.
Yes. I know. It must be amazing.
It is. It's very, there have been times when I've, wanted to forget about it, but it has been an amazing journey, very, very amazing.
Well, I tried to leave both my basic and advanced. I was leaving, both times.
I remember you telling me that, and I can actually see why you'd leave advanced. the reason I really called was because the last time I called you, you mentioned something about a windfall or getting some money.
Yeah.
I just wanted to find out if that could also be a reversal.
A reversal meaning?
Not getting money, losing money.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, not based on what I see here, because it doesn't show up like a loss. I don't see it as being a loss. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Yes.
So what happened?
Wow. Pretty major. You've probably been reading about it in the newspaper, but I invested with this company, this guy, and he's in jail right now, and nobody knows what's going on with him, but I can't say a whole lot about it.
So he took some money. He took some money from everybody, right?
Right. So, I mean, we don't know, because it's a lot of money, if it's still around, if we're going to get it, if it's what's going to happen. I mean, it's very sketchy.
Well, this is, you know, this money, you're in the Uranus period of the year, and the money is showing there, but it's like you never know when it's going to happen, you know. But you have until October 16th. So you have another month.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, but I think you're going to have to kind of just let go of it in your mind.
Yeah,
just move on.
I did after the initial shock.
What was this guy's name again? Because I think I read about him.
Yeah, you have. I don't know if I just mentioned him, because who knows who's listening. I'm telling you, it's been quite a hairy, scary thing. But yeah, you have been reading about him, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't read all that much in the newspaper, but I did read about, I forget the nature of the scam.
Yeah, he was on his way to Colorado.
Wasn't it like, was it a multi-level thing? I can't remember.
No, nobody really knows. They think it's like a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But nobody really knows, though it would appear that's what it is, because pretty much everybody thought we were doing bridge loans, and you know, nobody knows where this money is. If you're doing bridge loans, and the people you were loaning to would probably step up and say, hey, you know, this guy's, you know, doing,
he must be a really fast talker, this guy.
Well, yeah, probably. I would say so, considering,
you know,
how many people were
those
taking
kind
it.
Of people. They make a lot of money. When they do it, they appeal to people's sense of poverty, you know. That's how they do that. See, because people only go for things that seem like easy money when they have a sense of that there's not enough, you know, for the most part.
Okay.
For the most part, people who have a healthy financial relationship inside aren't interested in those kind of things that make money really quickly.
Okay.
Because they have a sense of value that says, you know, that doesn't feel right. Something, you know, they're used to paying for everything and paying full price, and they're used to money. They're more conservative, you might say.
Yeah, normally I am too, except for I wasn't working and it sounded good. So
see, you were under pressure of needing money, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what got you. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know,
amazing.
It wouldn't have, if you had had a lot of money and were working, you would not have been interested. See, if you were feeling safe financially, you wouldn't have been interested. So are you, what else is happening? So you're not working now, or you are working?
Oh, I am. I'm back to work. Yeah.
Okay.
I am working.
Well, I got a feeling that whatever is going to happen to this is going to happen by October 16th.
That's not too far away.
No, it's the next 30 days.
And that's actually just around the time that I graduate from LP, so it's all going to wrap up at the same time.
You know, I wish I could do LP over again.
Yeah.
I do. And my friend Joseph, he went on and did what's called PhD. They have a thing called PhD in Raleigh. And it's like another LP that lasts 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, and he completed that and staffed about 3 or 4 times. So he actually took it much farther than I did. I'll let you know that next year you have an Eight of Diamonds environment, so you're definitely going to have money. There's going
to
be money.
I just need to let this go.
You don't have to worry about money. It'll all take care of itself.
It will. I know.
Yeah.
I've been letting it go. It's just been really a shock. I was just curious if, you know, because you did mention I was going to make a windfall, so I thought, well, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it could also be the opposite. So
no, and that's not usually, I mean, because this losing the money has already happened. So this is news. This is new stuff coming in. So just give it a little time. But really, what I would do in your position is just don't think about it. Just set your sails on your life, on your vision and commitment. What do you want to have happen? And don't worry about the money. The money will be there.
Yeah, that's what I've started doing. I have a friend who also did this, and both of us were talking the other day at breakfast, and we were just talking about, you know, what's up for us and how, you know, this isn't the end. And she was thinking about retiring. She goes, well, there God was showing me not to retire. It's not time for me to retire.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was we were looking at the positive out of it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you're in this program where you can, like, recreate your life, so, hey, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I am doing it
and,
every
you know,
day.
I think that, you know, somebody, a friend of mine told me recently, and she has done similar training, and she was just saying, you know, she was just sharing that a realization she had, which is something that they teach sometimes, is that if the small stuff is bugging you, you're not playing a big enough game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Your game's not big enough if you're getting, like, you know, worried about the small stuff.
This is true.
So I see you, and I think big.
Yeah. I know last night we had one of our meetings, and one of the things they said, if you're not feeling stretched out enough, then you're not playing hard enough. And I was like, okay, well, then because I was starting to feel bad, because I thought, gosh, I'm just having this problem keeping up with everything, and everything just seems to be falling apart, and I'm trying to juggle everything, and I'm just not getting it, you know. And when they said that, I thought, oh, then I must be doing the right thing, because I'm definitely not comfortable. So...
Well, you know, it's such a stretch, and we'll have to talk sometime.
Yeah, it's good. I really can't thank you enough for being.
But you have to use this. You have to use this to become a master of enrollment for the rest of your life. You know.
Yeah.
That's what I used it for, and also get my vision and commitment going, it means we really got to get off our small stuff, you know?
Get off
our small stuff and really get into giving and loving other people, being our contract.
Exactly.
Here I am talking the language on the show. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, but I'm so glad you called. And I wish you could meet my fiance. I just know you two would really like each other.
I would love it.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever get up to this area or not, but if we ever get down that way, I will certainly let you know.
Please do. I have an extra room. You're welcome to stay.
Okay, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, June, good luck with the rest of your... How many weekends have you done now?
I've done the second weekend. We did robes already. So we're just... Now we're doing our... We're donating our time to
doing a
charity
project.
And we have our project. We're doing the American Cancer Society.
Okay.
And we have committed to raise $50,000. So I don't know. We have this crazy group.
Well, good. Be crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it... Boy, if we ever get a chance to talk, I can't wait to tell you the things that I did.
I'd love to hear that.
And how I never thought I could ever do the things I did. It just, you know, it was beyond my comprehension, but because I just went for it.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. And
you just have to go for it all the way.
Not ask questions, just do.
Yeah, and you know how to be spontaneous and do that, so.
Trust the process.
I can't believe your name. I was thinking Palomino, and she's a Sag. I said, unbelievable.
Oh.
All right, June, thanks for calling tonight.
Okay, you have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to hear from you, and please let me know how things turn out, and, you know, or call me or whatever, and if I come down there, we'll let you know for sure.
Great.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. So June is taking this program that I took. It's actually called a training. And when I took it, basically they told me that I could get anything I wanted from it. Like if I decided what I wanted to get out of doing it in my life, what I wanted to see happen, that anything could happen. And I made a list of things that I wanted to have happen. And I got everything on the list so fast that it was amazing. It was miraculous, nothing short of miraculous. And I took the third stage that June is now taking. It's very difficult. It lasts 3 months. And it stretches you to the maximum limit, but it shows you also, it shows us what we can actually be and do, and how we can go way beyond our limitations that we set for ourselves, our comfort zone. We all have such a comfort zone in our life, and that's basically we live, like I was talking about earlier, we just live our lives just to avoid things we don't like. That's what our life's about. Just a whole series of things designed to keep us from experiencing unpleasurable or undesirable things. So this training helps break through that pattern, which is so important. It brings life back into us, because we get kind of dead in our patterns, you know. We get sort of dead in our day-to-day and living such a life of protection. So it's amazing. If anybody's interested in hearing more about that, you can drop me an email on my website, or you can get my email from my website, and I'll be happy to talk to you. So it looks like we have somebody on line four. So, Dawn, are you there? I'd like to talk to you next.
Okay.
Oh, there you are.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Good. Two Sages in a row.
It's a Sag night. I was wondering, do you have plans to do the class again? You know, when you had that small class that you gave?
Yeah. I don't have immediate plans to teach that class again, but
okay.
There is one of the people in the Magi Fellowship who's one of the best teachers is actually holding right now a series of classes on, you know, they're like teleseminars where you
okay.
call in on a conference call line once a week,
uh-huh.
and you might be interested in doing that with her.
Okay.
It's not advanced level. It's beginner intermediate level. But I know I know you would learn a lot of things from it. If you're
okay.
interested in that, you can drop me an email and I'll send you her email.
Okay.
Yeah, she can
Perfect.
Hook you up. Where do you live exactly?
In Tucson.
Oh yeah, so you can be anywhere and do this because I think it's one night a week at a certain time and you just call in. I know you would love her. She's a four clubs. You're a five clubs. You guys are karma cards.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. So anything else going on?
Yes, I have a couple questions.
All
right. I have a friend who is, his birth card is Queen of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom has been very sick. And it's just like, not very sick, but something's been undetected. And I was just wondering if you saw something like, you know, serious, or because he had the nine of spades or something this year.
She does or he does?
He does.
Oh, what's his birthday?
His birthday is 3/11/76. Or, I'm sorry, 77.
Yeah, he has nine of spades long range, all right. Mm-hmm.
Would that be something with the family, or?
Well, I'm a Queen of Diamonds, and I have a nine of spades long range this year, too, which he will also have when he's 54 years old. So a nine of spades, it just depends. There is certainly a possibility that his mother could pass away.
Okay.
It's a possibility. I mean, you can't ignore that, you know. I'm not
no,
saying that's going to happen. Is he really worried about his mother?
He is.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never say anything to him about, it's in the cards, it's a possibility.
No, I wouldn't even tell him about the cards.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, how can you prepare somebody for a loss of that magnitude, you know? Who knows?
I don't know. I just pray that you, like, have just joy every day, you know, because you don't know when it's going to be the end or...
If he was a client of mine and he had asked me to look into it, I would tell him that there's a possibility. But I would say that it has other meanings, too. But I would help him. I would help him to deal with, you know, being okay, you know, with whatever happens.
Right.
That would be my intention.
Do you deal with clients that are going through grieving or grief or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I'm not that kind of a... I don't
right,
normally
it's not your
do
specialty,
that.
But
I certainly acknowledge how important grief is and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that here's another thing that I was talking about earlier. You know, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, but I was talking about when you have nines and sevens like this, you might want to listen to the show again. You might want to have him listen to it. We'll have it on the website in a day or so. But,
okay.
You know, if she does leave him, if she does leave, it's not just like a bad thing that happened to him. It has some meaning other than that for him. You understand? Like, it's just
yeah.
not a bad... There's just... Bad things don't happen to good people for no reason.
Right.
In other words...
They're so close. They're, you know, very, very close. So,
uh-huh.
I mean, it's going to be a huge, you know, a huge situation in his life.
Well, you know, my mother's still alive, but I know that she's going to die someday, and it's probably going to be in the next 5 to 10 years. And
right.
I know that's... I think for any man who's a queen of diamonds, it's a really hard thing. Because we're connected to our moms because we're a queen ourselves, you know?
Right.
And you're a moon to him, so you want to... You naturally want to support him, you know? Your desire is to help him if you can, right?
Right.
So, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm just like... I don't... It's just been so serious with her, and I've been looking at his cards, and I'm just like, oh, man, it's... You know,
but see, like even
yeah, I
she,
have that
you know?
Natural instinct to give to him, but like you said, what do you give? I don't know.
And even you have to think about her because we don't know. You know, maybe she wants to check out. You know, it's possible. How
she's
old
so
is
young,
she?
Though.
How old is she?
I don't know. I would say she's like in her early 50s.
Yeah, she's probably around 52 when a lot of people die.
Is that, that's
a lot of people
number
choose
of people
to leave.
Checking out?
A lot of people choose to leave around age 52.
Oh.
And even people that don't leave, they get faced with the possibility, like my sister is 52 right now, and she could have died. She had a life-threatening situation come up, and health-wise. My best friend had a heart attack at 52 and was told he was going to die, and he lived. So it's really what's going on. If his mother is in his early 50s, which I imagine she is,
mm-hmm.
she's deciding whether she wants to live or not. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And it's not just about him and his grief and all that. It's about what does she want to do. And does she feel like the... I don't know the circumstances of her life, but there is probably some part of her that doesn't want to be here. Or this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's so interesting because she has a beautiful life of, you know, two boys and just a very loving
yeah,
family.
But you don't really know what's going on
inside
her. I don't. You know? Like,
right.
I had this, there's this man, I forget his name, but he's a really kind of a famous author and spiritual teacher, right? And I got a chance to meet him and his wife. And she was, like, 51, and she had cancer, and she was dying. But she had this dream life, you know? She had this dream life, and I said to her, when did this cancer show up for you? And it showed up when her daughter left to go to college, which was like a year earlier. And because her daughter left, she felt like she didn't really have any reason to be here. And then she got cancer, and she died the next year.
Wow.
And, you know, she had a beautiful life because she had a really successful, well-known husband. She could be traveling the world with him, teaching with him, but in her own mind, it was it for her. And who can say what his mother is thinking? you know.
That's true.
But the cards tell us, especially if she's around 52, the cards tell us that she's looking at this and she's deciding what she wants, if she wants to be here or not. Now, you know, it is a selfish thing to die. It really is, I mean, by our own choice. And even people who die who seem like they died from some disease are often died because they wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. The best thing he can do is to let her know that, you know, if you leave, I'm really going to miss you. Like that, you know. Let her know there's a reason to be here.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the best I can come up with.
Okay, that helps a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Like you said, I know it's a choice, and you want to honor, you know, anyone's path that they choose.
There are
but,
no victims, you know. In our society, everybody lives like we all believe as a society that people get diseases and die. Like we're victims to germs, viruses, cancer, AIDS, you know what I mean? That's how we talk about life. But it's really not true. We attract these things to us. There's germs and viruses and AIDS around us all the time, but only we only get those when we've decided inside on some level that we want to check out.
I agree.
And so if you can help him see that perhaps his mother is making an important decision in his life right now, it might help him. I don't know. I mean, I can't even imagine how hard that would be to have, like my mother had passed away when I was 30 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't...
Well, my friend, I had talked to you about him once before, but he lives in Italy, and his mom and him are very close, and he was supposed to come here. But she's been sick, and so he doesn't want to leave now.
Uh-huh.
You know, he doesn't, and he's
yeah.
like, I don't want to come there and have to go right back. And she keeps saying, I'm going to be fine, I'm going to be fine, go.
Yeah.
And so, just what you're telling me, I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Maybe she feels like he needs to move forward, or he's going to move forward, and she doesn't want, you know.
You know, until we know the whole story, it's really hard to kind of say, because we don't know what's really going on, like, in his mind, in her mind, what the real motive is, you
mm-hmm.
know, and... I know that, you know, I know that most illness is self-created. Most, not all, but most. There is some illness that's karmic, you know, that comes from us from past life stuff or other karma. But by and large, most illness is something that we choose on some level. It fulfills a purpose for us. And death can be the same thing. I mean, I remember meeting a lot of people there for a couple of years, a lot of people I knew that were young, one guy in his 30s who died. And I had a chance to talk to them, and in both cases, they lost the will to live because of something that happened in their life. And they got cancer, and they were gone within a year or two. I mean, just amazing how fast.
Yeah,
you know.
Powerful.
Yeah. So, you know, don't look at just the surface. Try to look deeper when you can,
mm-hmm.
Dawn, and see if you can find out what's really going on, because that illness just didn't fall on somebody, you know. It's not like sitting on a tree and falling down on people like a snake or something.
Right.
People are
purposeful.
Yeah, and they had to have wanted it before it showed up. You know, it just didn't manifest instantly. It had to have come from wanting it or somehow conceptualizing that on some level for a while. So.
Okay.
Well,
That does. It does help. You know, you have to remember that we have free will and, you know, like you said, this didn't come, it's not sudden. This is something that, you know, anyone who's going to get sick and die has projected for a while.
Well, cancer doesn't just start growing one week and then next week it's noticeable, you know, or something like that. I mean, most of these diseases take a little time to develop. So we don't know, you know, what her life is. We don't know what's really going on, even though it might all look like she's got four loving children. And we don't know what's important to her. If you get her birthday, you can find out more about her, you know.
Right.
You might get a clue.
I don't really want to I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. Like, you don't want to, like, look in the cards and then see a death card or something.
No, no.
Yeah, I understand.
I have one other question. I have a very, very close, my closest best friend is a Nine of Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a good friend of mine for, like, 15 years, maybe.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know if it's ever going to manifest into, or what the relationship, like, what the capacity of our relationship would be.
I mean, would you like to see it become a romantic relationship?
Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, the Nine of Clubs is your Neptune card, you know. So that's the most romantic connection you can have with somebody.
The Neptune is? I thought the Moon was.
No, Moon is not romantic. Moon is compatible. And Moon
right.
makes you want to get married, but Neptune makes you fall in love with somebody.
Okay.
Neptune
Great.
Is like,
I'm gonna have
when
to
you
start
meet,
my studies all over.
When you meet your Neptune card, you meet the person of your dreams. You know, like your fantasy man.
I guess I just think, I was thinking Neptune was just kind of like a dreamy, kind of unclear situation.
Well, no, it's, when it comes to romance, it's like the person that's your Neptune card just activates all of your fantasies about love and romance and sex all in one person. It just gets all activated. And you tend to project onto that person the fantasies that you would want to have in your life. They seem to fit.
Oh.
You understand?
Right.
And you also
so
have
what,
Mars.
What
you
am
also
I to
have
him,
Mars
though?
Connection with him, too. What's his birthday?
His birthday is 3/27/76.
So he's an Aries, right?
Yes.
So he's a King of Hearts also.
Right.
So he's a little charmer already.
No, not a little charmer. A big charmer.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably got a lot of women wrapped around his finger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you cannot help but be attracted to him. But I'm not sure, you have to ask yourself, is he looking for a long-term relationship or not, you know? That would be question, a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Is he even looking right now? Or?
Well, he says, oh, yeah, I want to get married and have kids. And
really?
Yeah, oh, all the time. We always
so why don't you just look at him and say, well, what about me?
I don't, yeah, because I think about it, but then sometimes I don't want him.
You,
you
don't?
Know,
why
like
not?
Like you said, he's, well, because he gets strong and he's Aries and he, you know, can be a little self-centered. And
King of Hearts.
And I think Queen
King
of Hearts.
Can, is, they're going to want to dominate.
Yeah.
You should read the book about King of Hearts. If you have a kid with them, you become the
well, right.
servant.
I know. So that part of me, because I know about the, I mean, and I've heard you talk about King of Hearts, like Brad Pitt and
yeah.
different people, and it just, once the kids are,
well,
you
see,
know,
the
come
only,
along,
the only reason
everything.
Brad Pitt was not able to dominate Angelina Jolie is because he's moon to her. See? So, and she's stronger than he is because he's moon to her. But ordinarily, Brad Pitt would dominate whoever he's with. But your boyfriend, being a this man, being a king, being an Aries and a King of Hearts ruler, he's just going to use people, I think, until he becomes more mature.
When's that? Like when he's 40?
I don't know. Send him over to me. I'll slap him around a little bit. Maybe I can shake him up.
Please.
Snap out of it, you fool.
Right. So when they are King of Hearts, I mean, when it's the Loving Father card and that's just naturally how they are, do you ever, do King of Hearts ever balance it out with the relationship? Or
well, King of Hearts are actually very marriageable, you know. But, like, I knew a guy in Asheville who was a Jack of Hearts, King of Hearts, Sagittarian Jack of Hearts. And he was married, and he had three daughters, and he was having sex with everybody he could get his hands on, behind their back.
Right.
And he was so irresistible. He was so charming. You couldn't help but like him. and he was good looking, and you know, what else? So, you know, it's a matter, it just matters, it just really comes down to, you know, what, I can't tell you everything about this guy because I don't have his astrological chart in front of me and stuff.
Right.
You know, like really what's going on, because I don't know how extreme his King of Hearts part is or if it's balanced out and he really would want to get married. But Nine of Clubs usually aren't interested in marriage. They're just interested in the perfect love, sexual relationship. See?
Mm-hmm.
Not usually, but King of Hearts will get married. But Nine of Clubs, they're just one. They're just looking for the lover that spans lifetimes, you know? And hey, maybe that's you. Seems like he would have already got you by now, though. If he thought it was you.
Yeah. True. I don't know. We've been such good friends, and you know, we've kind of, you know, dated on and off, but nothing like serious. It's just been, you know, because we're so good friends, and we hang out, and we're, you know, we talk so much, and.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Well, you might want to let him know how you feel, because at least that you get it off your chest, and then you guys, if you really do want to be with him, and well, you don't really know that, you're not really sure. So, what are we talking about?
Right.
You haven't decided you want to be with him yet or not. He might take away your freedom. He might put you in a little corral. You're a little horse, you know. You may not like that.
Okay.
So, we'll talk again.
All right, definitely. Good information. Thank you so much.
All right,
and,
Dawn. Thank you for being a guest.
I will go ahead and send you an email, and then will you send me that information about the Magi Fellowship?
Absolutely, I will.
Great. Thank you, Robert.
All right, Dawn. Have a nice evening.
Have a great night.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, this is the end of our show. Thanks for hanging around. We went over time, and if we have time, if there's someone following us, you can play the Gayatri song as we end our show. We'll be back next Monday night, same time. Look forward to talking to you. Robert Lee Camp, Mr. Destiny, saying good night. Oh, no.
should play. I felt so sorry for that kid. It took some time to forget those days. It took some time to erase that pain behind these eyes. Child still remains. I don't know why. I just can't let go. I've done my time. Maybe since yesterday. I don't understand it. Child.
Don't get me wrong. Clear.